I think some of us have probably been to nativity plays already, or if not, we're going to go to them. And we can remember, I'm sure, back, I must have been about 7 or 8, and I had a starring role in a nativity play. I played a tree. And I can remember talking to one little boy who was the innkeeper. And I said, and what was the nativity play all about? And he said, well, it's about this innkeeper. And then I heard of somebody who was the second lobster. But nativity plays, lovely. And we were down in Cornwall seeing our granddaughter in one this week, and she was an age and she was lovely. But really, the nativity plays hide the reality of what happened. And I'd just like to think a little bit about Mary and Joseph going off to Bethlehem. The background is that the country there was under a very oppressive occupation by the Romans. Sometimes they were extremely brutal, but others, they just liked people to know who was in charge. And for example, it was the law that a Roman soldier with his heavy pack could insist that a Jewish man carries it for a mile. And then, of course, the Jewish man would say, right, I've had my mile, I'm dropping it, and they pick another one. And you remember Jesus said, if somebody wants you to go a mile, go with them too. But that's where it came from. It was the Roman occupation. They could insist on this sort of thing. And of course, the Romans would get the taxes. And one of the things, just to show that they were in charge, when it was time to do a register for the taxes, instead of saying, go to the town hall where you are or whatever, they said, no, you've got to go back to the place where you come from originally, just to show who was in charge and who was subordinate. And so Joseph had to take Mary to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was where Joseph's ancestral home was. He was descended from King David, and many of his family lived there. Many of his immediate family lived there. We don't know how he actually ended up in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth at the time was very looked down on. You know, there are certain places in this country that we can look down on, can't we? You know, things like Milton Keynes, or Swindon, or Slough, or anywhere in Lancashire. Nazareth was like that to the Jews, because it was an area that hadn't been Jewish for very long. There were lots of people who lived there who were from Greek and Arab backgrounds. And it was in the area of Galilee, and Galilee was looked down on. It would only be 100 years before the time of Jesus that Jewish kings had actually conquered Galilee. And they began to move Jewish people into that area, but there were still lots and lots of people who weren't Jews. And then about 60 years before, the Romans came in and took over Judea and Galilee and all that area. And then 40 years before Jesus, King Herod. He threw out the Jewish puppet king that was there, and he supported Rome. He was in charge of that area. But because of all this non-Jewish background, the Jews didn't think much of Nazareth. Remember Nathanael, when he was told, "Oh, come and see Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What a dump." So the fact that Joseph ended up somewhere like that was really looked down on by his family in Bethlehem. And families were pretty close in those days. They all knew what was going on. And if you lived away, there was regular people that would come backwards and forwards, and they would always bring the news of the family. So Joseph's family in Bethlehem will have known that Mary was pregnant, and that the word would have gone round. Because of course in those days you did not have anything to do with a lady outside marriage. And you can bet your bottom dollar that this was being whizzwazzed about in Bethlehem. What Joseph had done, he'd gone to Nazareth and he'd made this girl pregnant and they're not married. So when they came, they had to go to Bethlehem, to a place where his family was from, where everybody in the family knew what was going on. And they would go and knock on doors of the family. "No, no, we don't want anything to do with you." They were cast out. I mean, can you imagine doing that to your cousin, your niece, your nephew? Mary, obviously very, very heavily pregnant. It had taken about 5 days to come from Nazareth. Probably on a donkey, we don't actually know, but it's likely. A very, very heavily pregnant girl, and when she goes and wants a bed, the people that you'd have thought would have taken her in, said no. And they ended up in a stable. That's the reality behind the rather nice story we have. And of course, Jesus would have been despised because he was a child born out of wedlock. And then, short time afterwards, we don't know exactly how long, but they weren't in the stable anymore, they were actually in a house, but the magi, the wise men, came to Herod and said, "Where's the king then? Where's the new king?" And Herod, who was not very secure on the throne and was cordially disliked by the Jews, he'd become a Jew, he said, but people didn't really think he was serious, heard about this king and decided he was going to kill the children in Bethlehem. And Mary and Joseph got wind of this and they went to Egypt. So in a modern parlance, the young Jesus and his family were refugees. They were asylum seekers, and they fled because their lives were in danger. And they were there in Egypt until Herod died. Isaiah got the message, and he was looking forward to Jesus, and he said he was despised and rejected. He was despised and rejected right from the time of his birth. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Bethlehem is about 6 miles from Jerusalem, and it's about 100 feet higher. And from Bethlehem, you can actually see Jerusalem. And it could well have been that from Bethlehem, from the stable next to the inn, you could actually possibly have seen the Mount of Calvary. And right from the beginning, the crucifixion was predicted, and it could well be sort of figuratively. I can remember seeing a banner with the nativity and the angels, and in the background on the hill were three crosses. See, the truth behind the lovely nativity plays is that Jesus came on this earth out of love for each one of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever sort of people we've been. He loved us so much that he gave his son. And that's what Christmas is really all about. Not just the lovely stories of the child in the manger, but the child who grew up in a man and was rejected and was killed, but then rose again. And he's alive today. And that's the message, the essential message of Christmas. Amen. Right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time of Christmas that causes the world to just step back from all its busyness and to think about what really happened 2,000 years ago. But we thank you that, as we've sung, that Jesus did not stay as a baby. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. Lord, thank you that behind the joy and the festivity, we're able to see the real meaning of Christmas, that you came to this earth because you loved us so much that we can have through you second birth. Amen.